broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hi. I got such big news for you, Ben Crenshaw. 66 days to the Century Tournament of Champions and limited spectators will be allowed on the course for the Century Tournament of Champions. Alex Urban's going to be on to talk with us about that. Jonathan Wall, equipment editor, Golf Magazine, Wall to Wall is golf.com. Just go there. He's got great insights. He's going to be on the show too. Dr. John Carlson, intervention pain specialist, founder of the Hawaii Pain and Spine. Now, you got pain, you not do anything about it, you want to get back on the course, we're going to talk about doing just that. Jim Dodson, golf writer and author, he's now with Global Golf Post. He's got some really good stories about how he got into the business of writing golf, covering golf as a writer. And David McClay Kidd, golf course designer, DMK Golf Design, that's where you can find him. Now, we talked with him extensively about all of the golf courses that he's designed, but we never got to what he thinks about some of these long hitters and the question of what to do. I mean, making the game of golf as we know it now obsolete. It's like long drive and putt and just a little bit of short game. Certainly not a Seve Ballesteros kind of action. Got some tea times for you this morning. And big news, Mauna Lani on the Big Island. They are reopening for play next week. Wiki practice range and the South Course is going to open up. On the Big Island, great news at Volcano, and I wish they'd reopen Volcano, please. It's 59 degrees. Hapuna, we don't have tea times. They did not answer the phone. Makalei has an 8:32 and a 9:20 and a 10:38. On Kauai, there's a 9 o'clock and an 11:10 at Poipu Bay. And the Southside Men's Club, they're going out. Southside Men's Club, so glad to know that you're out there. Kapolei, web only. You've got to go online and make your reservations. Waikele has an 8:30. Waikele not. It is Royal Hawaiian Country Club, an 8:30, a 9:26, and a 10:42. Bayview Golf Course. You can warm up on the double deck top tracer driving range and then get out and play. There's an 8:36, a 9:30, a 10:10, and an 11:08. We're going to thank the people who make the show possible and come back with David McClay Kidd after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Aloha Power Equipment. Two great locations, Sand Island and Waipahu, for all of your power equipment, life-saving generators, lawnmowers, weed whackers, and more. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. Futura Stone. Turn your home project, your paving project, your warehouse flooring into artwork. Specializing in natural stones like Brazilian quartzite, Aquapite on-site stormwater source control systems, interlocking concrete pavers, and now polished colored concrete floors. Futura Stone, only the best. And Creative Plumbing. Starting a new project from the ground up, taking on a complete renovation, replacing your high-rise wastewater system, custom home, townhouse, high-rise, warehouse, or shopping center. Call Creative Plumbing, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And now, Danielle Tucker.
All right. Thank you. And let's bring David McClay Kidd in, golf course designer, DMK Golf Design. David McClay Kidd, world renowned for his work in the golf industry, for his work creating Bandon Dunes in 1999, 21 years ago. Doesn't seem like it's been that long. And then following up with magnificent courses around the world, including Nanea here in Hawaii and Mammoth Dunes in Sand Valley. Well, last month we spoke at length about his work building courses. Welcome into the clubhouse, David McClay Kidd.
Thank you, Danielle. It's very nice to be in the clubhouse at 10 in the morning here on the West Coast.
It's a beautiful day here in Hawaii. Variable winds, but just gorgeous skies, absolutely blue, and the water is just so perfect.
Ouch. Ow.
No. Okay. You'll be over soon. You know, you've been here. So last month we were talking all about your work building golf courses, and I feel like you find the course in the land. And when I was watching Shadow Creek, Las Vegas 2 weeks ago, it's like I was thinking about you. Yes.
I love that golf course. I've been lucky enough to play Shadow Creek a couple of times. And, you know, obviously it's not found in the land. It's kind of, it's no more found than the Boy David sculpture, you know, like someone honed out of solid rock. But what an achievement. You know, Tom Fazio is, without doubt, the most creative architect on sites that just aren't that creative. I mean, I marvel at what he's able to do. It's just breathtaking. And I see a place for it. I mean, I'd happily tee up this afternoon with you, Daniela, at Shadow Creek. It's an amazing place.
But natural,
it is not.
No, yes, exactly. And I completely agree with you. I love, you know, watching television and seeing the open courses that they use in the UK or in Scotland, you know, wherever they're playing, just those sand-based courses, those real golf courses where we all started. But looking at Shadow Creek was just amazing. And at the same time, I was glad that we saw it, because when Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson had their event, it really didn't show off the course. This time it did. But we really want to talk today about the length that these guys are hitting the ball now. And what we're going to do, I don't know, are we going to just change golf and become, as I said at the open of the show, are we going to change from just, you know, drive and putt and then maybe a little short game in there? It's not at all creative like Seve Ballesteros, or it's just so different. And I don't know how you and golf course architects feel about what the trend now is in playing this game.
I think that there's we've been lying to ourselves for 30 years now, trying to pretend that the amateur game and the professional game can be hosted on the same venue. And I think with Bryson now going, he's in an arms race for distance. It's more obvious than it's ever been that the elite tour pros and the average amateur, which is probably you and I, can't play the same golf course. These guys need something that's just, you've got two choices. You either have a particular venue that's just for them that no one else can play. They're just impossibly difficult for an amateur to play for all sorts of reasons, not just length, but the narrowness of fairways, the penalty of bunkering, the severity of the greens. You know, what you have to do to challenge these guys to the limit of their abilities makes for a golf course that the rest of us can't play. If you take Erin Hills as an example, that golf course is exceptionally difficult for the average mortal. You know, I'm a single digit golfer. I went to play Erin Hills. I lost the ball in the second shot and first hole. It's really, really difficult. But the elite tour pros took it apart. It wasn't difficult to them at all. The greens were big. The fairways were wide. It had no resistance to scoring hardly at all. So it really comes down to two things. You either have to admit, just suck it up and make sure that these guys are playing venues that are tailored just for them. So you end up going down a path where Sawgrass, the Masters, you know, those venues are specific to them, and these guys aren't touring as much because the venues are very specific. Or, and this is really contentious, you go for bifurcation and you create two sets of rules, one for them and one for us. And they're using different balls, different equipment. There's a different set of rules. That's what bifurcation means. And they play to their own rules. And then the rules and the equipment could be tailored for them to find the average golf course that we play just as challenging. I'm not sure that would be as entertaining. I mean, it's pretty entertaining watching Bryson DeChambeau try and hit it 400 yards. I much prefer the NFL over college football. I'll watch them both, but the NFL is just bigger and harder. These guys play harder. So I want to see Bryson unshackled. I want to see what he can do. So I guess if it was me, I'd be thinking about making venues that are more tailored to what they can do.
Or, yeah, having, like, when you TPCs becoming real tournament player courses. So it's just for a PGA Tour tournament that hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, PGA West or Sawgrass is a great example. Those guys are not playing Sawgrass at 8,000 yards, but they find it incredibly difficult. And the fairways are super narrow. They're on weird angles. The greens are then set up on opposing angles. So their margin of error becomes razor thin. But again, to us mere mortals, having played Sawgrass, it's really challenging. I would not want to Sawgrass to be my Tuesday afternoon bounce game with my buddies. I think I'd feel pretty beat up after a few weeks of that.
Yeah, kind of like that Bermuda Championship they're playing. Excuse me for digressing, but watching those guys try to play in the wind, that is like brutal. That's what's happening on the PGA Tour right now. They're in Bermuda, absolutely. Talk about water. There's no place on the planet that I've been has water as clear that you can see from an ocean liner down all the way to the ocean floor and literally see all the pebbles and the rocks and everything and be just blown away by the clarity of the water. So length of drives getting longer. You don't think lengthening golf courses makes any sense, right? Because we mere mortals are what, 99.9% of the golfing population?
Well, I don't know. I think if you are building a venue specific to those guys, I'm not sure what option you have. You know, Bryson, I looked at the tour stats this morning before we spoke, and I half expected to be able to argue that Bryson DeChambeau, a bit like Tiger, is the longest guy on tour, but he's also great with his wedges, his putter. When you look back at the height of Tiger Woods, he was hitting it farther than anybody else, not by a mile, but by a significant margin. But he was also number one in putting stats, number one in recovery. I mean, he had the best all-round game, which made him dominate. I looked at the stats this morning. Bryson's tee to green, he's number one. Driving distance, number one. He's not on the top 50 for everything else. He's 56th in putting. He's in the bottom 50 for recovery. So my worry is that, unlike Tiger, the differentiator is we're looking at a guy who's somewhat one-dimensional. He's bombing the ball, and he's taking every other part of the game out of play. He's not the best guy with the wedge or out the bunkers or putting. He's kind of middling. But because he's hitting it so far, all those other skills that the game of golf should demand, he's able to be mediocre and still win. And that is absolutely counter to the game that we all love. The guy who's winning, like Tiger in his prime, was the best in every facet of the game. He, even though we loved watching him bomb the drivers past everybody else, he was still holding 30-foot putts more consistently than anyone else.
And that's why when we watched Tiger, there was an incredible amount of energy. It didn't matter where you were, you know, what television you were watching on. There's Tiger Woods, and he hit that drive, and he hit that iron, and he sank that putt, and it was like every shot was an exciting, huge moment, and then he went and did it all over again. Yeah, he was phenomenal on all levels.
Yeah. I guess Bryson is the antithesis of Seve. You know, Seve was a terrible driver of the ball. He couldn't hit it straight, but he was an amazing player on the second shot in. You know, he could recover from anywhere. He could chip from anywhere. He was a phenomenal putter. Every part of his game, other than off the tee, was spectacular. And now we're looking at a player where every part of his game is, it's okay. I mean, he's 56th in putting, but he's so far ahead of the rest of the pack off the tee that it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's playing in with a wedge on every hole. He doesn't care if he's in the rough. And the solutions I hear the tour players saying make me even more nervous. You know, Ernie Els is saying, let's grow the rough up to knee height and make the fairways 25 yards wide. Well, my fear would be, you know, that arms race against someone like Bryson is just going to make the game more and more one-dimensional. I mean, what fun would it be to watch if the fairways on every tournament event are 25 yards wide with knee-height rough? And if there's no spectators, these guys are going to start losing balls and walking back to the tee. I don't know that that's good for the game, certainly not good for spectators of the professional game. So there has to be some other answers. And if Bryson can outdrive everyone and continues to do so, the only way we can make the game level the playing field a little bit is to push him back so far that he's still having to hit something other than his sand wedge in for a second shot and force him to be able to recover around the greens and be able to be a good putter. Try and get the golf course to meet some of these demands of distance, which I'm afraid means pushing them back even farther. The option is bifurcation, and I'm not sure we want to see that.
Yeah, I like that you brought it up because, you know, there is a lot of people. There, in fact, there was a poll on Twitter this morning. You know, what, leave it the same, bifurcation, what do you want to do? Roll back the equipment. That's something that, you know, both Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods say, and then they were criticized by some people who said, yeah, when you were in your prime, you were the top, and now that you're not, you want to roll it back. I kind of like the idea of maybe not rolling it back, but stopping the equipment from becoming even better than it already is, so that, you know, it hits the ball for you at some point. It seems like...
Well, I don't know that that's really what we're seeing right now. Bryson is not using different equipment than anybody else, as far as I'm aware. You know, there's an argument that Tiger did, right? He had the Pro V1 ball before anybody else had it. He was playing Nike clubs that were, you know, allegedly not Nike. They were made by Mura and relabeled and flattened off. So his 5-iron hit like a 4-iron. And so there was some debate that Tiger had a slight difference in his equipment setup and maybe had a little more technology. I think Bryson has, you know, he's an MIT professor, right? He's a physics genius. He's figured out that if you weigh 240 and you can get the club head speed over 200 miles an hour, or, you know, 140 miles an hour, and the ball coming off the club face at 200 plus, you are going to carry it farther than everybody else in the field. And that gives you an advantage. You don't have to be a great chipper, putter. You don't have to do it. If you can hit it 50, 60, 100 yards past everybody else in the field, you've got such a massive advantage that the rest of your game doesn't have to be that good.
Yeah, but I go back to what you said. It's not exciting for the fan. It's not fun to watch on television.
No, he's a machine.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the thrill of, you know, Tiger's off the green in two and he has to hold this chip in to force a playoff. And we all thought he could actually do this.
Yeah.
This is the one man on planet Earth that could actually do this. Bryson would be happy. I think he'd probably take second place. He'd be like, okay, you know, I'm not going to make this. I'm just going to put it, I'm going to get it so that my next putt's from 3 feet and I'll wait for some unforced. I mean, who knows? But he's such an automaton. He's disseminating the game from art down to science. And, you know, I'm not sure that that's really great for the game. If all he's doing is bombing it farther than everybody else with little accuracy, and then the rest of his game is mediocre. I'm not sure that that's that exciting. It doesn't have the same thrill that Tiger had at the same point in his trajectory.
Agreed, completely. Do you watch the setups on television? Do you like do reviews of the golf course in your mind, or the review of the golf course setup, how you would do it differently?
You know, it's hard to see that on TV. You know, I think even now with all the technology we have, it's very difficult to see the golf course in three dimensions. You know, the only thing that's really changed in the transmission of golf in the last 30 years is the HD instead of standard definition, and then the shot tracer, which has definitely made things better, that you can see where that ball is going in flight. But every golf course looks flat. I mean, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have walked a golf course. Kapalua would be a perfect example. You know, Kapalua is nothing but there's not a flat spot out there. But when you watch it on TV, the 18th hole does not look like the ski slope that it actually is.
That's right.
So it's really difficult as a spectator on a course you don't know really well to really appreciate the setup. You know, when I watched Bandon Dunes playing the amateur 6 weeks ago, obviously a course I did, course I know really, really well, I thought the setup was fantastic. I thought the USGA did a phenomenal job setting up. Where I was a little disappointed was the attack that the players took. The players and their caddies, I don't think, really thought through course management. You know, every time there was a hole that was more than 300 yards long, they're reaching for driver every time, no matter what. I mean, it was very almost impossible to think that any of these elite amateurs were going to hit anything other than driver if they could. So a hole like 16 that's drivable, they all try to drive it. And trying to drive it could very quickly lose you the hole. Where an iron off the tee, you almost couldn't make more than par. And so the course management, I think these players are all coming through the college golf program, and they're all being taught by their coaches that length is everything. You know, never give up length in preference to any other option. And when you're playing the links courses of the British Isles, you look at someone like Faldo at his height, or even Tiger at his height. When they were playing the Muirfields and the Troons, they were often not hitting drivers on holes that were more than long enough for them to hit it. But it just wasn't the shot. They could put it in position better. They could control the bounce better. And so they could win the tournament, not hitting driver. And so that's kind of a disappointment to me. I would love to see us have these guys play courses where the driver is really a very, very bad option and force them to start to think about doing other things. So that would be my desire, would be to figure out the course setup. Maybe the USGA and the PGA Tour should take on golf course architects like me occasionally and get us to work with their tournament setup guys and see if we could figure out how to make Bryson think hard about his driver, and maybe let's see how far he could hit his 5-iron.
I love it. This is David McClay Kidd, golf course designer. You can find him at DMK Golf Design. Go there because the courses he's designed are absolutely spectacular. Enjoy talking with you immensely. Thank you for being on the inside the clubhouse and on the show today. Thank you so much.
Always my pleasure. Thanks very much.
Aloha. We're going to come back. There's a new writer at Global Golf Post, the first all-digital golf magazine. It comes out every Monday, and it's free, but they also have Global Golf Plus with less advertising. Jim Dodson, he's been on the show before. He's an author. The Range Bucket List is the last time we spoke. He'll be back after this with Jim Dodson. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU 2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to HawaiiPain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
While the tourists are away, Waikiki hotels are renovating. Ross's Appliances and Furniture has scored big and is passing the savings on to you. Hundreds of items, beautiful high-end tropical furniture, dressers, nightstands, desks, chairs, koa-framed art, banana leaf mirrors, and much more, all priced to sell fast. Ross's even has desks for your distant learner at home. Ross's on Mokuea Street in Kalihi. Ross's open 7 days a week from 8 to 6. Ross's will save you hundreds of dollars, and we guarantee it.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Jim Dotson, author, The Range Bucket List. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Danielle, it's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. So Jim Dotson is now with Global Golf Post, and he wrote this really, his section is called The Good Game. And his introduction to being at Global Golf Post included this quote, and I'm going to let you explain it after I say it, okay?
Okay, all right.
All right, here you go. If you stick to journalism and find yourself someday writing about golf and having to eat your words, as I've done for nigh on half a century, I promise that you shall never meet a collection of more glorious rogues, liars, and flat-out thieves, plus the occasional truly inspiring hero, than in the wide world of golf. Of course, that you can be supremely assured. Now, when I'm like, the most glorious rogues, liars, and flat-out thieves, plus the occasional truly inspiring hero, who spoke these words to you?
Oh, the great and inimitable and absolutely unforgettable Henry Longhurst, who his colleague called Henry Longthirst, the great, he anchored for a long time. He was at 16 at Augusta on the CBS crew, and I saw him. I was a college graduate trying to figure out if I wanted to try to caddy on the tour or go into journalism, which was my chosen field. But my dad at the Greensboro Open in 1970, I think it was 76, was the last year he was there. And I was given a chance to be a caddy at the Greensboro. Had a huge pro-am with lots of CBS, you know, people. It was Andy Griffith. It was the golden age of kind of the CBS sitcoms. And I ended up being assigned to a tubby guy about 4 feet tall with a gigantic orange leather golf bag with about 35 clubs in it. He'd never been on a golf course. I think he was the guy on the show called The Dukes of Hazzard. And he never hit it in a fairway. I spent the entire day getting out of creeks and climbing through bushes to find his errant balls. And I was so humiliated by the end of it, I wandered in. He tipped me $2, and I went into the clubhouse to drink my beer, my sorrows away, and decided I was going back to journalism school. And there was this eminent, my favorite, my literary golf hero sitting in the shadows around the corner the last 3 years of Greensboro, Henry Longhurst. And so I poured my woe out to him, and I thought he said, he was so sweet, and he said, actually, young man, it's not too late. If you really were serious about golf, it's not too late to quit this racket now and become an insurance man. That way you can really work on your game. So it was just charming, and it really did set me on the road, the long road to becoming a golf writer. Hey, let me just insert this real quick. Your previous guest, David?
Yes.
Clay, kid. I knew him when he was a wee thing.
Oh.
I wrote a book called Farm Around 22 years ago. It came out. It was an international bestseller and about taking my dad back to England and Scotland when he was dying of cancer. And his father, Billy, is one of my great close friends. I took my wife, Wendy, over to Scotland about 4 or 5 years ago for her first trip to Scotland. And we played the Macrahanish Dunes course, which David designed and I loved. And we spent a wonderful rainy afternoon with his dad telling stories. He was the superintendent so it was just wonderful. He's a dear friend and very, very pleased and proud of what his son. And I met David when he looked like, I think he was like 11 years old when I first met him. So it's great to see a son of golf rising high.
Yes. I mean, we spoke at length about a month ago about, you know, growing up on a golf course and raking bunkers his entire childhood.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Jim Dodson, author of The Range Bucket List, when we spoke. And the final round, I'm going to have to read that. It sounds very touching. And now, at Global Golf Post, you're going to be able to find Jim Dodson now, Global Golf Post, and his column is The Good Game. What are we going to find in The Good Game?
Well, Danielle, it's really kind of, you know, I've been out of golf writing for, about 15 years. I left Golf Magazine after the 2005, right before the 2005 Open at Pinehurst, and I'm a Carolinian. I came home, I was teaching writing at a university in Virginia, and I had a chance to start some arts and culture magazines down in the Sand Hills of North Carolina and across the state, and I did, and they've done very well, and we have five of them, and I continued writing my golf books. I wrote Hogan's biography. I'm Hogan's biographer. I wrote Arnold Palmer's memoirs and five more golf books during that 15-year period, actually four more. And, you know, so my golf book writing continued, but for years I wrote a column in Golf Magazine called The Golf Life. And the thing that set it apart was it was never really about tour or trying to figure out, you know, who was the hot player. It was really about the eccentrics and the wonderful people who have kind of a passion for the game. I've always been drawn, like my hero, Henry Longthirst, to people who have this wonderful, eccentric, cockeyed passion for the game. And the game is full of good people like that. And it's full of so many good things. You know, this game just gives you wonderful, wonderful encounters, takes you places, and you meet the most colorful array. So in The Golf Life, which actually led to Final Round, that's the book. I wrote a column about my dad. I'd sent him some senior clubs, and he was my best friend in golf. And I hope someday, you know, that we would take this trip back to England and Scotland, where he learned to play golf as a soldier in the army. And he was dying of cancer. I didn't know this at the time I wrote the column. But that column led to this, to the book, which became a huge bestseller. Actually, it's been to the altar three times to be made as a film. That's how...
Wow,
it's amazing. I get letters. I think it's sold. At last, I heard, over about 750,000 copies worldwide. So it's a really amazing little book. You never imagine something like that when you write a book. It was just, I had a wonderful father, but he had that passion. He was a 20 handicapper who just lived for the game, you know. And he played a very English style of game. He learned it when he was in stationed in Scotland. So, you know, it's a love poem to the game, and that's really kind of what The Good Game is. And so what I'm asking all my friends across the golf world to do is nominate people that they think have a wonderful, colorful story, who have a passion for the game. I've written about everything from cowboys playing sand green courses on mesas in the Dakotas to a blind librarian who could shoot 80, break 80 every time.
Wow.
You know, I just love those stories, because golf is a game that is a really wide tent, and it really brings in people, and The Good Game is that sort of tribute to them. So I hope readers, I've gotten a lot of response from across the golf world, because it seems like I've been gone a long time, and I guess it is. The books are still coming, but a monthly column is something I'm really looking forward to, these tributes to people.
This sounds wonderful. This is Jim Dodson, American sports writer, editor of Pine Straw magazine. Are you still doing Pine Straw?
Yeah, actually, yesterday was my last day as the editor of Pine Straw, O. Henry, Season Style and Design, Salt Magazine, and South Park in Charlotte. So we have magazines and Walter Magazine in Raleigh. So we have Raleigh, Greensboro. These are the big cities in North Carolina and Charlotte. And it's been a treasure. I mean, I'm a hometown state boy, North Carolina boy, and I've been very blessed to write these, and I've written a column in those magazines for 15 years that people seem to like, and we have a lot of golf writing. Obviously, North Carolina is a golf capital, so.
Yeah.
But I have very fond memories of Hawaii. In fact, my wife took her first golf lesson with Jackie Pung,
really?
It was one of the most wonderful afternoons, and then it spread into an evening, and we had dinner, and she was absolutely magnificent lady. I have very fond memories of being there with her.
I bet. She was a great lady, truly. And Jim Dodson, who is now writing The Good Game, a monthly column at Global Golf Post, and go there and just put your email address in and you'll get Global Golf Post automatically at no charge on Monday in your inbox about, well, a little before midnight. Depends, you know, daylight savings is going to end. But this it won't never end. This part of Jim Dodson's bio doesn't end. He is the Herbert Warren Wind USGA International Awardee for 2004 for his book, Ben Hogan, An American Life, and the USGA Herbert Warren Wind Award for 2012 for American Triumvirate, Sam Snead, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, and the Modern Age of Golf. That's amazing. Two Herbert Warren Wind Awards. And what is this about maybe making the movie? Did that ever come about for
For Final Rounds?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Final Rounds came out and it got on the bestseller list. And then the second one I wrote was a book called Faithful Travelers about taking my 7-year-old daughter and our 15-year-old golden retriever in a canoe on our 8,000-mile fly fishing trip around America one summer. And they made a movie out of that one. That came out. Sadly, they retitled it instead of Faithful Travelers. It's called Dodson's Journey. At the same time, Final Round has been 3 times to the altar, and all 3 times, interesting. I mean, this is kind of how Hollywood works. First of all, you know, James Garner was going to play the father. Jack Lemmon wrote me. He was going to play the father. He passed away. We got Dennis Quaid was going to play the son.
Wow.
Every time we got to the altar, it's just kind of a odd thing happened. They changed the studio head, as they often do in Hollywood. And 2-3 times in a row, someone came in who was not a golfer, and they read the book, the script, and they said, we love this script. It's fantastic. But then they said, we think this would be a better movie if we change the story to the father and the son don't like each other and, in fact, have been at adversaries for 25 years and the father's dying, and so they go on this last trip to Scotland and reconcile it. Well, that's not the book. The book is really a love story between father and son or mother and daughter. I mean, it's a book about how parents, there's this, you know, you pass the game along to your child. And I have a chapter in the Range Bucket List about my son who became a really wonderful golfer and set a record and went off and followed me into journalism. He's now a Middle East correspondent but he still loves the game. And that was passed to me by my father. So Final Rounds, it's a fun, lovely, funny book about this eccentric father I called Opsy the Mystic, who was a character. He was an ad man with a poet's heart. And we had a blast on this last trip where he was dying, and we ended up in St. Andrews. And it's a sweet, sweet book, but I couldn't have changed it. I mean, I was never going to, so I just withdrew it. I just said, I'll wait till the right people come along. And Clint Eastwood was interested, and he and I played a couple of days of golf. And I mean, the book has been traveled through the golf world, and I still get 200 letters a year from it.
Wow.
You know, 20 years later.
Wow. That is wonderful to know that you've touched people in such a deep way. So Jim Dodson, author, and of course now columnist for Global Golf Post, globalgolfpost.com. Thank you for being on the show.
Danielle, great to talk to you again. We'll see you down the fairway.
Yes, we will. I look forward to talking with you again, Jim. Aloha. We're going to come back. Now, Jonathan Carlson's going to get you back on the golf course, okay? He's clinician founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine in Kailua. You can find him online at hawaiipain.com, and you'll hear him when we come back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
And it's a great day for a round of golf, a warm-up on the double-deck Top Tracer driving range first, or just go and have fun playing there in the shade. Get out, get some exercise. There's an 836, a 930, a 1010, and an 1108.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And now we're welcoming into the clubhouse Dr. Jonathan Carlson, clinician founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine, local boy. Kailua, Hawaii is where his office is, of course. And online, you can find him at hawaiipain.com. He's on Instagram at Hawaii Pain and Spine. So much fun, where Aloha Spirit meets innovation and patient care. We hope to treat every chronic pain patient as if they were ohana. Welcome into the clubhouse, Dr. Carlson.
Thank you for having me back again. So grateful to be on the show.
It's great to have you here because so many people don't do so many things, including, of course, the game of golf, because they have this problem with their back. They're not sure what it is. It's just, oh, I'm getting older. I've got this back problem, you know. I can't do this anymore. And a lot of, excuse me, guys, but a lot of guys are kind of hesitant, and sometimes women, you know, to go to a doctor, find out what's going on with them. There's all kinds of stuff, you know, we hear about bulging discs and herniated discs and trauma pain and sciatica, you know, and it's kind of scary. But going to see Dr. Carlson is not scary at all. It's like going to a friend's house. So tell me a little bit about what you can do for someone with, they've got low back pain. What would you do?
It's interesting, Danielle. You look at primary care physicians, and of course me as a specialist, and usually when patients come in complain of pain, 85% of those complaints are low back pain. And I agree with you. It's interesting. So many patients say, well, I can't play golf anymore because my back hurts, and they don't take the step in getting to the office. And so we often find that the pain's been, we really try to decide if the pain's been going on for a long period of time or a short period of time. Sometimes I see both. A lot of times it's chronic pain and it's been going on for months and years. But if I find out it's been going on for days or weeks, we often start with conservative treatment where I use my colleagues, chiropractors, physical therapies, therapists. I use medications. And most of that is mechanical back pain that resolves quite quickly over weeks and months. But the remainder that persists often ends up being related to injuries in the back from bulging discs and arthritis. And we can treat that in my clinic, my office. Many pain specialists can do that. And so we'd start a different treatment algorithm with that if they're not responding to therapy and pain medication. And really, thinking of golf, we think of one of the world's best players, Tiger Woods. That's been something that's ailed him for years, and to the point where last year he won the Masters despite having four knee surgeries, which often people say that they think that's why he ended up having his back issues, and then having four spine surgeries ending up with a lumbar spine fusion. But, I mean, gosh, he won his 15th major last year.
I know. You know, we marvel. And yet, you know, and I think the fusion they did, and they went from the stomach side?
Yes.
Is that unusual?
It's not unusual, depending on the nature of injury. He had an issue at the lower part of the spine, the L5-S1, a disc degeneration. And so they did. He had an ALIF, or an anterior lumbar interbody fusion, which is our fancy way of saying going in from the front and removing disc material and then fusing it at that L5 and S1 level. That's what Tiger had. But it's really interesting. You look at how this all started. I mean, you think about back in 2010 where he really started complaining of his bulging disc. He withdrew from the Players' Championship. And we think of moving forward to 2013 where that famous issue where he fell to his knees after swinging the club, had to withdraw there, and then had his first spine surgery in 2014. That was a discectomy. What was going on with him there was, and I'm not a spine surgeon, but I work with a lot of these patients, work closely with neurosurgeons and friends throughout the country. He had to have a discectomy where he removed a disc that was pinching the nerve or bumping up against the nerve in his low back because he had sciatica. And he ended up having three discectomies. And we know he had his fusion, the ALIF, in April of 2017.
Wow. You know, let's take it one step back. You know, what you said about some people say the knee problems developed into other problems. So if you ignore, we're so connected, right, the body. If you ignore a pain in the foot or the knee, the ankle or the hip, that can cause other places to be injured over time because you're what?
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at 1994, he had benign tumors removed, and people say often, you talk to doctors about Tiger Woods and his kind of his path of having 8 surgeries, but benign tumors removed. I think people think this was genetically related. Then he ruptured his ACL in 2007. He's running the British Open. And it's interesting. I didn't know this, but he won 5 tournaments out of the 6 after that, despite having a left knee ACL tear. And then and he actually won the PGA Championship during that time. And then he had an ACL surgery, a couple ACL surgeries. But what doctors say think was happening is that he had a disc conjugate gait. He was not walking and flowing. I think a great way to think about this is, someone sprains the right ankle and then they start to have left knee pain. It just, your body's not in the conjugate flow of how it should be. So they think that really started affecting his back, and having those 4 knee surgeries really was affecting how his flow was. And we know golfers, it comes down to nuances. Even the great amateurs, they talk about how every detailed move matters, and you can have a small injury in your neck and that can affect how you swing. And so that happened to Tiger. And so he ended up having multiple spine surgeries because they think it really started with the knee.
Yeah. My point of getting back to that is you have to remember, don't ignore something like that. Go in and find out what it is, address it so it doesn't impact other parts of your body and make it even worse. When a patient comes in, you talk to them about their history, you talk about them, about what they want to do or what you think. I mean, you don't do invasive things right away. You don't suggest anything like that. You, as you said earlier in our conversation, you try to go into, let's say, core strengthening so that you stand upright, or a chiropractor if that's appropriate. In some cases, I understand that it's not, but you can correct me, please, if I'm wrong, or a physical therapist. You start soft before you go deep.
Absolutely. It's interesting. I hear a lot of patients say, well, I don't want to go see Dr. Carlson because, you know, I don't want to end up having to have a surgery. And I do think it's important to mention Dr. Alpesh Patel, chief of surgery at Northwestern, is involved with Tiger Woods and didn't do his surgery, his final surgery, but he said something. It's important to remember that we don't just go from, oh, therapy's not working and medications aren't working, to spine surgery most of the time. I mean, you do if you have instability of spine or progressively worsening neurological issues that are causing weakness and paralysis, such as drop foot, or maybe in Tiger Woods' case, multiple failed disc operations. But I like what he says. It's important not to go overboard because And you don't want people to say, hey, this worked for Tiger. I'm going to write to a surgery, because it's going to work for me. So you're right. You have to do these small things a lot of patients aren't aware of, but or do an epidural steroid injection for sciatica, or maybe treat arthritic pain by doing nerve blocks and burning the nerves about called radio frequency ablation. There's a lot of steps in between from going failed therapy and meds to a spine surgery that we can do in my clinic, any pain specialist, really.
And you have the most, you have a great way about you. You are well known across the United States. You're deeply involved in your world, and you give your time to so many different causes. Tell us what you're on so many different boards, double board certified, and now you're taking your knowledge and using that and helping other people.
Yes, I like to say, as we say in Hawaii, we all have our kuleanas or our roles. So my role, I feel, is that I got boarded in anesthesiology, took a step further and got boarded in pain. And there are doctors that are really good pain specialists, aren't boarded in pain, and that's why I mentioned everyone has their roles, but I think it really is important to see if your pain specialist is board certified, not just in their primary specialty, such as PM&R or neurology or anesthesiology, but are they boarded in pain if they're going to be doing advanced pain procedures? I feel such as spinal cord stimulation or maybe doing a mild procedure where we remove parts of ligament to help patients that have pain with prolonged standing and walking that gets better when they sit, that maybe get out on the golf course and walk longer. You might be a good candidate, minimally invasive procedure like that, or a vertiflex procedure where I put a spacer between the bones of the spine to allow you to walk further and stand longer without having to have a big spine surgery. And some patients, again, I'm not anti-spine surgery, some patients do need to have the spine surgery in the end.
Yeah, but you always start with the least invasive and then move forward. And that's why I really suggest, if you've got a pain issue, if you've got a friend who's got a pain issue, Dr. Carlson, Jonathan Carlson, clinician founder of Hawaii Pain and Spine in Kailua, wonderful environment, and people are really kind and embracing. And what you say, where aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. That's what it's all about at Hawaii Pain and Spine. I thank you for all that you've done for my friends and me. And I really recommend Dr. Carlson if you have someone who needs it, or if you're listening and you're like, well, maybe I should go and do something about this. It's not going to hurt, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. A lot of people are afraid of pain, and they just deal with chronic pain nevertheless, but they think something terrible is going to happen. It's not. Thank you, Dr. Jonathan Carlson, clinician, founder, Hawaii Pain and Spine. The phone number is 452-1379. 452-1379. Of course, Neighbor Island's just 808. Thank you so much for being in the clubhouse with us this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. So grateful. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about treating patients. Hopefully getting back out on the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm really impressed with your knowledge of Tiger Woods and all the everything that he's gone through. It's just incredible when we watch him still playing the game. It's and loving it when he can. And when he says something like, it all depends on how my back is. It's like if it's cold, maybe I can't. Yeah, I got to get up at 3 a.m. to warm up. He knows what his limitations are. Whenever I watch him, I think do you want to risk maybe getting hurt again when you could just chill with your rest of your life and do? He's got a foundation. He's got his kids. He does so much for people around the world. I digress. Dr. Carlson, thank you for informing us, and thank you for taking care of us.
Thank you for having me. Aloha.
We'll be back after this. We've got a great news, Century Tournament of Champions news, coming up next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Maruyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
A Century Tournament of Champions, PGA Tour, where all the champions come together. Maui Plantation Course, awesome Kapalua, January 6th through the 10th. That's only 66 days from now. We didn't know anything the last time we spoke. Alex Urban is executive director of the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, how are you, Danielle? Always nice to be on.
It's good to have you. And so, spectators, tell us about spectators on the course for the Century Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, you know, it's been a you know, obviously a challenging year in that respect, and working with the officials from the PGA Tour and local state governments and leading health authorities to make sure that we've got a good plan for the tournament this year that properly keeps fans and players safe. So with that, we've worked out a plan to have a limited number of ticketed guests on site at the tournament. So what that means is we'll have basically one venue for fans on site, and those fans will be able to attend the tournament. That venue will be on the 18th hole, which is our great signature hole. You'll be able to watch the tournament finish, and we have a larger field this year, which is great. And so those fans will basically be limited to that zone on the golf course, and it'll be ticketed, and there's a limited number of those tickets. And, we're going to space and socially distance within that venue for health and safety reasons. But, we're excited to be able to have some people on site,
Yes, especially on the 18th when, think about the last play, a playoff hole.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
That finish was incredible.
It was, and we want them to continue to have that kind of excitement around that final hole. A lot of the guys talk about how much they miss having fans. Like, it's hard to keep the what did he say? It's just hard to keep the dragon going, competitive rah, when there's nobody cheering you on.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's funny. I've watching golf since the PGA Tour returned back in May, and I've found it really interesting because I think there are some players that are really struggling with it. There's guys like Justin Thomas is a good example of a guy that I think really
feeds off of crowd energy.
Yes.
Tiger Woods is the guy that's always fed off the crowd energy. And then there are some guys that I think sometimes the more relaxed feel of not having the fans, it helps them. I think Dustin Johnson is a guy that I think, you know, not that he doesn't want fans to return, but I do think that you know, the just going out and doing your job and playing golf, obviously his talent is immense. I don't think it affects him as much. So I think it just depends on the player.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to hear, you know, player by player, who feeds off that energy and who doesn't really care as much.
Yeah. Well, with Tiger Woods, I think he said it himself, you know, that he likes the fan energy, because
yeah.
Even when he doesn't make a good stroke, let's say on the putting green, it's like, it's okay, Tiger, we're still with
yeah.
you. You know, it's
yeah.
like, don't worry.
Yeah.
We're just going to follow you until the end of the earth. You know, it's
true.
And that kind of, you know, it juices you and it's fun. And so I can totally see how not having that is, you know, it's, but having it at the 18th hole at Kapalua,
absolutely.
Tournament of Champions. Awesome. So how do we get the limited number of tickets?
Yeah, so all information as it relates to the offerings, and, you know, we've got our pro-ams available as well, as well as our honorary observer spots where you can actually walk with a group. So the only people really allowed on the golf course will be the honorary observer folks. And so there are some other options outside of that one venue. And all of that information is available on our website. Very easy, CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Yeah, it is very easy. What about, like, will Golf Channel be broadcasting?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, that's the great thing about this tournament, right? It's we have the most beautiful property on the PGA Tour to host a PGA Tour event, and it'll show up beautifully on TV, just like always. We'll be broadcast all around the world, and the views aren't going to change of the Pacific Ocean and Molokai and, you know, our wonderful golf course at the Plantation Course.
No, they never do. That's the beauty of it. It always
yeah.
makes us look fabulous.
Yeah.
And the media, is it going to be reduced?
So it'll be following basically the same guidelines that all the PGA Tour events have followed. And it's not necessarily that it's reduced. It's just the areas where folks are allowed to gather and that sort of thing is just a little bit more structured, I guess.
Yes.
Is the word I would use, just
yeah.
just to make sure that people are in the right areas and that sort of thing. But no, we want to make sure that our friends in the media can tell the story of what's going on at the tournament.
And that's wonderful.
Like I mentioned earlier, our field is going to be larger than usual, and it should be awesome.
Yeah, I
from
was
a competition
looking,
standpoint, it should be amazing.
Oh, absolutely, it's going to be amazing. But I was looking for my list. I usually carry. There it is. my Century Tournament of Champions list is right here. All the guys that are going to be playing, and you got to stay with me because I want to make sure that I get this all correct. And this is the 2021, of course, Century Tournament of Champions. Now,
yep.
My list has the qualified field. That is Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith, Andrew Landry, Mark Leishman, Webb Simpson, Nick Taylor, Adam Scott, Victor Hovland, Patrick Reed, Sungjae Im, Tyrrell Hatton, Daniel Berger, Webb Simpson, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Colin Morikawa, John Rahm, Michael Thompson, Justin Thomas again, of course, he won several times, Ricky Wawrinski, Colin Morikawa again, Jim Herman, Dustin Johnson. I think I'm missing here a couple because I don't have the list from the WGC HSBC Champions. Bermuda Championship is underway now. Tell me, do you have the rest of them?
Yeah, so, well, HSBC Champions was canceled this year, so that
That's
event
right.
isn't being played.
Right.
But Bermuda's this week, and we've still got a few more weeks. I mean, we've got the Masters coming up in a couple weeks, so the Masters champ will, of course, qualify. And then, you know, from a qualification standpoint, in addition to those winners, you have to remember that, you know, the top 30 players that qualified for Atlanta, for Eastlake, in our FedEx Cup finale at the Tour Championship, they too qualify this year. So there's 17 extra guys in addition to the names that you just mentioned that are qualified. And that includes guys like Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau and some really nice additions to our Kevin Kisner, guys that are, you know, longtime supporters of this event, and obviously Xander's a former champ just a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. And like, and you know, we've still got these next 4 or 5 weeks for people to punch their late ticket to Maui.
It's only 66 days away. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the end of October, then November, then December. Then comes January 6th to the 10th, Century Tournament of Champions, Kapalua Plantation Course. Be there. Alex Urban, Executive Director, Century Tournament of Champions, thank you so much for being on the show.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Danielle, for having me on.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
We're going to come back. We've got a lot to talk about equipment-wise, because equipment is, of course, the big story with you-know-who, Bryson DeChambeau. But in addition to that extended length of the shaft he wants to use, he has done it with his body. He has done a scientific approach to get his body in shape. And what he did say this week is, if you're trying to be what I am, be very careful. You can't just bulk up, hit it hard without hurting yourself. You have to know that your body can handle what I've done to mine. So think about that. And in the meantime, we'll come back after this with Jonathan Wall, golf.com. He's the equipment editor. And Wall to Wall is the name of his column. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORL Waianae, Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu. Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All right, we're just going to hang for a couple of minutes, and we're waiting for Jonathan Wall, the managing editor of equipment at Golf Magazine or golf.com. He was the PGA Tour equipment editor as well. And Phil Mickelson and his 47.5 Callaway Maverick, will it work at the Masters? Big question. Of course, he's always done different sorts of things because that's what Phil does. He loves to tinker. And remember when he showed up at the Masters with his two drivers? So he could, you know, shape his shots depending on which way he wanted to go. Remember when he created the Frankenwood during the 2013 Masters? He showed up with the Frankenwood. Three guys were responsible. They were at the center of creating this Frankenwood, and they had to do it really quickly. Evan Gibbs, Brad Rice from Callaway's R&D department, and Jarrett Pong, who spent more than a decade building Mickelson's equipment as a senior club technician. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Masters plays out. It is in November. It's a completely different golf course at that point. You know, it's going to be longer, they say. It's just going to be interesting to see how the course plays and how the guys attack it. So with looking at pictures from before the Masters, let's say like a month ago, it looked completely browned out. I mean, it was like the place was so dry. Well, of course, it's fall. What else is it supposed to do? And I guess it hadn't had any rain. Well, then a couple of weeks later, we see pictures. Well, everything is in bloom again. I mean, it's amazing what the Masters, the people, Augusta National, what they can do. They really take care of their yard nicely, don't they? We have Jonathan Wall now with us, managing editor at Golf Magazine, golf.com, specializing in equipment. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I was just talking about Phil Mickelson and his 47.5. Is that a 47.5 Callaway Maverick?
Yes. Yeah. He used 47.5 last week at Sherwood. So just Phil being Phil.
Yeah, Phil being Phil, exactly. The two drivers that he took out when he was at the Masters. You remember that? What was that? 2013? Before that, it was before that.
He actually won with it in 2006, which again, in typical Phil fashion, he finds a way to win a major championship with two drivers. So yeah, I mean Phil. Over the years, I've having been in the industry, he's the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to equipment stories, because he's always doing something that is noteworthy. And as you mentioned, the two drivers, he used the Frankenwood, as a lot of people probably remember. He won a major championship with no driver in the bag when he won the Open Championship. And yeah, it's just, you know, Phil has always tried to find an edge, kind of similar to Bryson, I would think. Yeah. He was kind of Bryson before Bryson came along.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that was pointed out to me about Masters Week, the week before, usually guys can go in and play a round of golf. But this year, the week before the Masters is shut down. Nobody can go in to play. It's just not open to anyone. I mean, not even Tiger Woods. He can't go, and nobody, and you can't take anybody with you, so nobody can go. And no green books are ever, this is ever, right? They've never allowed green books at Augusta National.
They've never allowed it, and I think that's why, you know, you typically never see guys go in their first year and have success at Augusta, just for that simple reason, is it usually takes at least a couple of years to get acclimated to the green complexes and knowing where to hit shots and kind of getting comfortable with the flag locations. That's why, you know, Phil talks about it. He has reams and reams of notes. I've talked to Justin Rose before. It's very similar. You know, guys just take new notes every year because Augusta makes changes. And that's really the only way that you can kind of get to know the golf course is through these notes and through the experience. And again, that's, I think, why it usually takes a veteran. You know, they always tend to play really well there because they know the course better than the first timers.
Exactly. What have you heard about the difference between April and November?
I mean, I think based on right now, what a lot of players have said is they're just expecting a much longer golf course. You know, that's one of the things that, I think that's why Bryson is really ramping up and testing 48-inch, 47.5-inch drivers, is simply because the golf course, should be playing much longer than it is in April. You know, April, you're getting warmer weather, the ball flies a little bit farther. You're going to get a little bit more rollout, especially late in the tournament on Saturday and Sunday when things start to really firm up. You know, it's just, it's a different golf course. And so I think the guys that are long recognize that they might have an advantage if they can get a little bit longer. You know, that's why we've seen Tony Finau try different drivers. You know, Phil trying a different driver, Bryson, obviously. You know, it's just guys looking for an edge and just kind of recognizing that this is going to be a Masters unlike any other.
Yeah. Some people thought that no green books for Bryson would be a disadvantage for him. When you watch on television, it's like a ritual for him to study his green book and study the green and study his green book and talk to his caddy and study his green. There's so much of that that seems to be pre-shot routine-ish for him. And not having that, I don't know, do you think it'll be a detriment for his game?
I mean, I don't think so. I think if anybody's going to have an advantage over playing a Masters in November, it might be Bryson. And I'm not merely talking about the fact that, you know, Bryson might be carrying it close to 400 yards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the simple fact that he's taking into account, you know, a lot of things that the average pro is not: barometric pressure, you know, basically, like, I kind of go back to how he prepped for the US Open, Danielle. You know, he spent a lot of time the week prior at the Tour Championship in Atlanta. I spoke to the guys at Bridgestone, and they talked about all the time he spent working on shots out of the rough to really try and figure out, you know, if I have a shot from the deep rough, how much is that going to affect my spin? What can I kind of expect from a carry number? He really wants to try and figure out the most accurate number he can from some really difficult lies. And again, nobody's really doing that except for Bryson. And if you're talking about a November Masters where nobody's going to get to see the golf course the week prior, and you know, you're going to be, you know, facing different weather conditions, different course conditions, I think Bryson has an advantage just simply because he and his caddy go through a different process when it comes to calculating yardages. For some guys, it might be guesswork. For Bryson, it seems to be a little bit more precise.
Yes, much more precise. The scientist, you know, everything has got to be exact. And I suppose that's why he's so slow. Is he the slowest?
You know, I think if you were to give tour pros a truth serum and ask them who's the slowest on tour, I think Bryson is extremely, you know, the word that I would use is methodical. I think a lot of people probably would just like to, you know, I'm trying to use the nice word.
That's
here,
a nice Danielle, word. Not, it's a good word.
Right. methodical is the word that I would use. But yes, you know, Bryson uses a painstaking process when it comes to trying to calculate yardages and the shot that he wants to hit. And he's one of the slower players on tour. I think at one point he was trying to speed up, but I think some of these guys realize that when it comes to a major, you know, if they're getting called out on television or in social media for being slow and they still end up winning the tournament, it probably doesn't really matter so much how fast or slow they are. Everybody tries to go their own pace and on the final round of a major championship. And, you know, Bryson just tends to work through things in a different way than most pros.
We're talking with Jonathan Wall, managing editor. He specializes in equipment, as you can tell, at golf.com. You can find him. Wall to Wall is the name of his column. And Bryson DeChambeau's Masters game plan is gaining traction on tour. So what exactly are others trying to emulate what he does?
They are. This is the most fascinating story, I think, going into Augusta. We talk about, you know, pros showing up to play a potentially a different golf course that's going to be playing longer than it has in years past. And, you know, you almost kind of wonder, some of the things Bryson has done over the course of his, you know, young career out on tour, you know, a lot of them haven't stuck. You look at, like, the single length irons that he uses. All of the irons in his bag are the same length. You know, then you go and you look at something like him measuring, you know, basically the center of the golf ball to make sure all of them don't have weight more towards one side of the golf ball versus the other. They're all, you know, it's all equal across. You know, he measures those in a salt water solution. You know, there are things that the average pro would not do. But this, I really do think that this driver length is something that is going to potentially take hold. You know, Bryson wins the US Open. He's longer than basically anybody in the field. He has a huge advantage. Other pros start to notice. You have Phil Mickelson using 47.5. I actually talked to a couple of tour reps that same week who said, look, Bryson's not the only one who's doing this, and neither is Phil. There were other pros at Sherwood who were testing longer lengths. I know Dylan Fratelli used 46 inches in his Callaway driver. You know, there were other pros in that field who were testing. I know that Kramer Hickok, who is up near the lead in Bermuda, was testing 48 inches, which is the maximum length. So there are other pros who are very curious. And I think, Danielle, the litmus test for Bryson's, you know, longer driver length is if he goes on to win at Augusta with 48 inches. And I think he has every intention to play a driver at that length, assuming it matches his game. If he wins at Augusta with 48, I think we could see a huge boom in players using 46 inches and above out on tour, just simply because a guy just won two majors and it's a clear advantage. So it is. It's a very interesting story to kind of track as we get closer to the Masters. And, you know, I don't think Bryson's going to be the only one who's using a long driver. I think we will see at least a handful of players using one at Augusta.
Interesting. It's like it's a long drive competition. Like the game is turning into long drive competitions and then getting in the hole. But staying with the drivers, another article, and this is, again, Jonathan Wall, Golf Magazine. Golf.com is where you can find Wall to Wall. Why does Phil Mickelson have a white dot on his driver face?
Yeah, this is a funny one. I actually had a couple of people reach out to me. We did a really in-depth story on Phil and talked to a couple of the reps. One of the guys actually who builds Phil's clubs about his setup at Sherwood when he was using the 47.5-inch driver and a Callaway, basically a 2-wood. And one of the things somebody pointed out from one of the photos that we posted on the website was, there's a little white dot in the middle of Phil's face. What is that? And so, I did a little bit of digging, and I kind of thought I knew what it was and received confirmation. You know, for people that kind of remember, it's hard to believe that this story has all but disappeared. But you go back to Xander Schauffele last year at the Open Championship when his driver was deemed to be non-conforming.
Yes.
You know, that was a big story. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, there were rumblings that had some players out on tour in the very first event of the season who had their drivers come back non-conforming. So the white dot, to make a long story short, is just the way that Callaway is able to mark the center of the face. Now, it's not the only spot on the face that the USGA tests during a tour week. You know, now they're testing the gamer drivers for all the players, and they can randomly test them during the tournament. The dot just marks the middle of the face, and then that way they know, okay, that's face center when they test. Yes. And then they'll also test a couple of other common spots where the ball is likely going to impact the face. So it's just for the USGA CT testing, and Phil just happened to have that little dot on his driver face, which doesn't surprise me, because if he's using a new driver at 47.5, I'm sure the USGA is very interested to just make sure that everything's kosher.
Come over here, young man. Show me your driver.
That's right.
Now, another column is Brooks Koepka doesn't have an equipment deal for good reason. What's the good reason?
Yeah, I mean, this is another story that has kind of gone by the wayside a little bit, just simply because I feel like everybody's so infatuated with what Bryson is doing right now. But equipment free agents, you know, you look at a guy like a Brooks Koepka. I mean, it's hard to believe 2018 seems, and 2020 has been a very long year for a lot of reasons, but 2018 was a banner year for equipment free agents. What I mean by that is those who did not have an equipment deal, basically where they play a manufacturer's equipment and they get a check, a guaranteed check for playing that equipment. A lot of players after Nike had their mass exodus from the hard goods, meaning the golf clubs, the balls, and the bags industry, they exited that, and a lot of those players became free agents. And just so happened that in 2018, all four majors were held by players who didn't have a equipment contract. You know, some of those players, Patrick Reed, Francesco Molinari. Francesco went to Callaway. Patrick Reed kind of has this like semi deal with an iron company out of Asia called Grindworks. You know, so most of those players, I would say, ended up going back and signing deals elsewhere. Really the only three that I can kind of think of who have stayed free agents since Nike left that side in 2016 are Brooks Koepka, Tommy Fleetwood and Paul Casey, and Brooks is kind of, as I mentioned in the story, the top dog. He won four majors after he became a free agent. And he did a very interesting, I didn't realize until somebody pointed it out, but his girlfriend, Jenna Sims, did kind of an impromptu Q&A with Brooks, and everybody could ask him questions. And somebody said, you know, hey, why do you still not have an equipment deal? And Brooks just said, matter-of-factly, look, it's the freedom. You know, the freedom to be able to kind of play what I want, test what I want. And from the players that I've spoken to over the last few years who have spent time as equipment free agents, that seems to be the general consensus, is a lot of players just love the fact that they can play what they want. And they don't have to be tied down to, you know, playing, you know, this driver or that driver, because these are the only two options you really have within the, you know, the manufacturer that you're tied to. So, yeah, Brooks enjoys being untethered. And I think there are more reasons, Danielle, than just simply the equipment freedom of being able to play what he wants. You know, he doesn't have to. A lot of the manufacturers require these players to spend X number of days doing, you know, photo shoots or video or you know, things with the media. Well, Brooks doesn't have that. So, you know, those days are his own. So I think there are a lot of reasons why he still enjoys that freedom. And I don't see him changing anytime soon.
No. And, you know, I've always thought if you've got enough money and if you're Brooks Koepka or Tiger Woods or anybody at that level, you've got enough money to buy your own equipment. It's inconvenient that you don't have a truck, but maybe you do have an equipment guy with you.
Well, they do, and that's an interesting point, Danielle, is, you know, Brooks still doesn't have to pay for his gear. A lot of these companies will willingly give him equipment for free just simply because he's kind of giving them free advertising. And, you know, he uses Mizuno irons. You know, Mizuno will supply him with irons for free, and they'll do all the work on the irons for him in their truck. You know, the only difference is that when Brooks wins, you know, they kind of have to leave it up to the media to point out that he's using Mizuno irons, because because they don't have a deal with him, they can't trumpet the fact that he's using their irons to win a major or win a tour event.
You are so marvelously on the inside. Jonathan Wall, managing editor, equipment is his specialty. Wall to Wall is the name of the column. Golf.com is the place to find him. Thank you so much for spending time with us in the clubhouse. A real pleasure.
Hey, thanks, Daniel. I always enjoy it.
Thank you. Have fun. Aloha. A happy Halloween to the kids and everybody. Have a great time.
Thank you.
Okay, so we got to thank our wonderful sponsors who make this show possible. Rainer Overhead Doors. They're hiring, by the way, installation professionals. They'll train. You have to have a little mechanical ability, not to be, you know, klutzy. Call 676-3667. Nothing wrong with klutzy. I'm klutzy. See the latest in garage door designs. HawaiiDoor.com. Boy, does that make a difference in the way you impress the people going by your garage door, and you go to HawaiiDoor.com, and the number is 676-3667. Enclose your carport, make your home more safe too. Okay, Aloha Power Equipment, they are moving, and you know that lawn, it just keeps growing. Well, new from Honda is the 21-inch rear bagger mulcher mower. It's regularly $470 and now only $325. The most high-tech generator with CO2 sensor, the EU2200G, that's just $1,099. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu, and check out their sale now, because everything must go out of where they are now, because it's a moving sale, okay? That's Aloha Power Equipment, where you go for your power equipment needs. Bayview Golf Course, beautiful Kaneohe, Oahu's best value in golf, double deck driving range, top tracer at each station, socially distanced, of course, covered range on the course. So, you know, then on the course, you get fewer tee times. Again, the social distancing taken very seriously, but it's so much fun at Bayview Golf Course. It's bayviewhawaii.com. And they've got some tee times. One is at 9:30, 10:10, and 11:08. And then we have to thank all the folks over at MD Restoration. If you have a flood or a fire disaster, you need to call MD Restoration 24/7. Emergency and disaster restoration service, totally COVID compliant. okay, whether it's a flood or it's fire or it's dirty water cleanup, you just give them at MD Restoration a call. And they are licensed contractors, so they can do so much more. That's MD Restoration, 528-3434. I want to thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. And if you'd like to hear the show again, it's radiogolfclub.com/listen. You see the streaming that you can always use and the podcast. So we're going to say aloha for now and have a very safe, happy Halloween. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2020.